Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Nicholas of Cusa, a German 15th century theologian, philosopher, a key thinker in terms of getting us from the ancient world of philosophy to the modern idea of philosophy. So it's interesting to look at. We've gone through so far, this is episode number 7, and we've actually slaved our way through some of his more intense thoughts. He's a pretty intense character. And we just recently we went through idea that God is something you can't understand, and you can understand that. This is 2.3.2. God is the not other. Let's go through it. It's pretty hard. So, in de il non allude means on the not other from 1462. Nicholas returns to the ancient Platonic categories of the one and the other in order to reconstrue in novel language what Christians believe about the dependence of the creatures on their creator. Several of Cusanus, Cusanus means the Latin, his Latinized name, so they use Nicholas and around. Later's work used verbal coinage or Latin neologisms, which is a new words, as names or characterizations of God that are original with him, though they have earlier echoes to Christian Platoism. In this dialogue, he uses the expression the not other as a substantive for God as the divine not other, even though we are more familiar with the phrase in comparative expressions that are negative, always ways of stating self-identity. It's pretty amazing. For instance, the tree is not other than equals the same as identical with the tree. Amazing. When we use reason to recognize differences and to make distinctions, we are attempting to do justice to the plurality, the variety of natural and cultural realms with which we are most familiar. Even things of the same kind are different numerically, and speaking and thinking clearly about things and their features requires our differentiating what is determined about them. We expect them to stay the same as they are and to remain different from other things, and reflect this with our language of identity and difference when we describe and define what we perceive and understand. Here we go, this is pretty deep. Nicholas is attempting to capitalize on the way we differentiate created things to signal and symbolize their divine creator. While each created thing is not other than itself, so to speak, it certainly is other or different from other things. The created things are different from God as well. But Nicholas is proposing a way of naming God that will underline how God's difference from God's creatures is not even close to one creature's different from another's creature. God's difference is categorically different, so to speak, from another creature's otherness, from a second creature. Cusanus, or Nicholas of Cusa, can thus be paradoxically asserted that God is not other than anything else, anything God has created and sustaining in being. Indeed, we do well to think of God as the not other. Here's what Nicholas writes, quote, "Not other is not an other, nor is it other than any other, nor is it an other in another, for no other reason than it is not other, which can in no way be other, as if something there was lacking of it as another. For another," sorry, I'm going to laugh at this, "for another, which is other," I'm still laughing, for another which is other than something lacks that which than that which is other, but not other, because it is not other than anything, does not lack anything, nor can be anything outside it." Very good. Lucky he didn't try that in an Australian pub. He just wouldn't get anywhere. We may paraphrase this other cryptic message as follows. The divine not other is simply not one of the things we are familiar with in the world we inhabit. But all is multiplicity and difference. which each thing or state of affairs is other than different from every other existent thing or situation it obtains. Nicholas terms the multiple things we deal with as with others because each of them, each other, is distinct from every other thing. Nicholas also proposes that such a finite thing possesses the lack of what things different from them possess. To be other or distinct is precisely not to be one way, one or any of the finite others. Our language and thought busy themselves in finding and making further distinctions and divisions between things and involves recognition that God's infinity remains unknowable to us in this conceptual terms. Okay, well, it was a bit of a hard ask to get me to read that other thing, especially after this cardiac thing. That's sort of like the top, sort of retraining my brain. Cusanus, Nicholas of Cusa, proposes some possible indirect routes that will give us no positive insight or conceptual grasp of the divine essence. For instance, if we look to the very oppositions and contradictions that plague our normal thinking about God, we may do no more justice to the unique relationship between God and creatures. In his word, the oppositeness of opposites is oppositeness without oppositeness. He identifies the infinite God with this oppositeness of opposites. Now, the opposites in question are the ordinary things of our existence that are separate and distinct, that are have proposed or mutually exclusive properties. Wow. Designating God as the oppositeness of such opposites can... Oh, right. So it's the opposite of being opposite. Can take us from the distinctions and oppositions with which we are familiar to the one who is responsible for there being such oppositions. God is distinct from these oppositions and differences, but only in a way that establishes their reality. Yet God's oppositeness is without oppositeness, since God's distinctness is unlimited and beyond familiar oppositions. In fact, God's oppositeness encompasses or enfolds all opposites in God as identically God, and encompasses or unfolds all opposites in creation by constituting them as what they are in all their determinate finite differences. We are to think together both the way finite things and opposed and God's transcendent oppositeness that is opposed to those opposites. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Not as they are to one another, but as to the ontological responsible for the oppositions with which they are familiar. I'm getting a bit confused here. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.